How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out FanEssentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear, makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at just $34.99. Visit FanEssentials.net and use promo code FANTASY, that's promo code FANTASY, at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit FanEssentials.net to get all the essentials you need. Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at ProFootballWeekly.com. Thank you very much for downloading us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or wherever you do get your podcasts. We had a little bit of a break here. I was off for 2 weeks, had a son. Congratulations to me, everybody. We're very thankful to be back and talking fantasy football with you. In studio today, we've got Pro Football Weekly fantasy football expert JC Talon. JC, how's it going?
Here, I'm going to start your son at running back this week.
That's not a bad idea. He does fumble a bit, though. Does not have the fundamentals down. I don't love his blocking just yet. Joining us on the line, Pro Football Weekly's Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how's it going, man?
John, more importantly, you're not a fumbler, right?
That's right.
Tight grasp on that football / son. No, congratulations to John. And you sound like you're doing pretty well. Were you a coffee drinker 2.5 weeks ago, and are you a coffee drinker now?
I was, and I am even more so now. My body's adjusted. I'm kind of used to the no sleep thing. So, but that's not why you're here. We're here to talk fantasy football. So this is our game by game breakdown. We're going to go through each game one by one. Give you our best plays, some guys we're on, maybe some guys to stay away from as well. So let's get to it, guys. First game, Houston and Jacksonville. The over-under is 42, so a pretty low total. Jacksonville favored by 1.5 at home as of this taping on Friday. A little surprising. I thought Houston would be favored in that. But, JC, anybody you on in this game?
You know, this would be a matchup to avoid, I would say, probably from both sides of the ball. But obviously Lamar Miller is a guy you're going to look at. He's got a shoulder. He's dinged up a little bit. Alfred Blue's been taking away some carries. Looks like he's going to play. It could be a good week to play DeAndre Hopkins. This could be a good breakout for him. On the Jacksonville side of the ball, Houston's got a good defense. They've not played well on the road. But I think you have to call this a below-average matchup for Jacksonville.
Arthur, any interest in a guy like Marquise Lee on the Jacksonville side?
Yeah, I mean, he's made the most of his opportunities. It's easy to forget that he was actually drafted before Allen Robinson, and it has been nice to see him break out a little bit. Should have an extended look this week, I would imagine, if Allen Hurns can't go. I know he's dealing with the concussion. So the first player that piques my interest in Jacksonville outside Allen Robinson, who you still have to play every week, even if it's begrudgingly, is Chris Ivory. Obviously breaks out last week with 18 carries, 107 yards. That 18 carries represented the most by a Jacksonville back since week one, and if there's one area where the Houston defense does struggle a little bit, it's stopping the run. So I have to think that the best way that they can hide Blake Bortles, new OC Nate Hackett, that is by continuing to feature Ivory.
I know a guy who dropped Chris Ivory and then turned around and picked him up the next week.
After a trade, did you see the corresponding move? It was pretty slick. Yeah. I was able to pick up Derrick Henry, actually, as my DeMarco Murray handcuff in the trade, and then sent off T.J. Yeldon and was able to reclaim Ivory off waiver. So pat myself on the back there.
You know, I was going to pick up Ivory, and I had to decide between him and Capri Bibbs. And I'm ahead of you on waiver order, and I picked Bibbs only because I thought there was more potential upside, but Ivory's definitely the safer play.
Well, that's a nice transition into our next game here. Denver at New Orleans, 49 is the over-under. New Orleans favored by 3. Guys, I know Bibbs got some real hype earlier in the week. Gary Kubiak, it sort of had a throwaway line on getting him some more attention, but I still think this is Booker's backfield. JC, where are you in this game, and where are you on that Denver backfield?
Yeah, you can never take a coach at his word ever. And so the fact that he says he's going to give him some more carries, you got to see it to believe it. I stuffed Bibbs on the end of my roster, and I think a lot of people probably didn't, but I'm not considering playing him. I agree. Now, Booker's got to jump up and take advantage of the opportunity, which he has not done so far. In fact, Denver's entire offense has not looked great. But I do think this is a great week for Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. It's funny, every week I rank those two guys pretty high, but then I rank Trevor Siemian way low, and which doesn't make sense because you'd think if they're going to have good weeks, then eventually.
They don't pull Siemian with them. Gets stuck at about 200 yards and a pick or two.
That math starts to hurt my head, but I agree with you. On the other side of the ball, I think you got to play your Saints. I don't think the Raiders proved you can score on Denver. I don't know that Denver's quite as dominant as they were last year. In fact, they're not as dominant as they were last year. They're very good still. But the Saints at home, I would still play. You know, Drew Brees is still one of the top plays in fantasy. Downgrade him a little bit, but not a lot. Brandon Cooks, you got an interesting situation in the New Orleans backfield. If you look at the amount of touches, Hightower's still quite the siphon, but Ingram had a big day and hopefully has earned the stripes back from Peyton and will get the lion's share of the carries, which he has not done the last couple weeks.
I think you can play both of those New Orleans running backs, even if you have both. I think you can play both. I'm more confident in Ingram. I think he's got the higher upside. But with the way Hightower's getting touches and the way this Denver defense has been so vulnerable on the ground, you can attack this Denver defense. Don't be afraid to attack this Denver defense. Arthur, you got anything left on this one?
Yeah, John, I think it's a great point by you, and actually that Broncos run defense was struggling before it lost Derek Wolf, so he may not be a household name, but I promise you that is an injury that they are very concerned about in Denver. So I agree, it's a strange NFL world we're living in where you're looking to start Ingram and Hightower versus the defending Super Bowl champions. The last note I would add on this one, and I apologize to the anonymous tweeter who I just don't remember who it was, but I saw a great stat. The Broncos blitz more than 30 other NFL teams, and Michael Thomas is by far Drew Brees's his hot option, if you will. He's the guy that is always looked at against the blitz. So Michael Thomas still a strong play even against that no fly zone. I do feel kind of bad for Willie Snead owners because he has certainly become kind of the lost guy in this this wide receiver trifecta.
And Snead probably gets Chris Harris. Meanwhile, Aqib Talib is out. So yeah, Thomas is definitely a strong play this week.
You know, it's interesting with New Orleans. You've got you never know which receiver's going to go off, and it's same thing in Green Bay, and it's been like that in Washington all year, and it's very frustrating if you have any receiver on that team because you just can't depend on them. But you also can't sit Jordy Nelson, right? So and it's hard to sit Brandon Cooks or Michael Thomas, but they distribute the ball so well it waters down all the value.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Kansas City at Carolina. 44 is the over-under. Carolina favored by 3 at home. Jeremy Maclin is out. Justin Houston was pulled off the pup list, but he is still not going to play. Guys, I want to talk about the Carolina side for a second. Cam Newton has not been Superman this year. If you drafted him high on your fantasy team, he has not really been great for you. But I feel like this might be an opportunity for him at home against the Chiefs where Cam can kind of erupt a little bit. Do you guys coming with me on the Cam eruption or no this week, JC?
Well, I like Cam. If you've got him, you got to play him. It's been a down year for him if you compare it to last year, for sure. What's happening is ever since that he's been not concussed, but he's had some issues. Don't seem to be going to him in around the goal line anymore. The inside of 5 yards, it's Jonathan Stewart's getting the ball, and that really diminishes his value. So now if you put the 90% or 95% of his value on his arm, he becomes a lot more average. And I think that's an issue. One of the things here with Kansas City, this is a very interesting game. Carolina looks so bad early. They look better now. This is a tough one for me. What I would look at on both sides of the ball, I would call it a neutral matchup. I wouldn't shy away from it, but I wouldn't dig too deep into it either.
Arthur, I'm kind of excited about Travis Kelce in this game. Where are you on Kelce for this one?
Yeah, I just want to see if he can find a new way to get a thrown out of the game because that was pretty humorous. pretty humorous Sunday with the towel toss, but I actually can't blame him. That referee mistake was pretty bad, and obviously he was heated. I do agree with you, Travis Kelce. I like both the tight ends. Obviously, Greg Olsen, it is a blue-chip matchup, likely against Eric Berry, but I think you're going to play both of those guys. I think particularly with Calvin Benjamin, likely to see a lot of Marcus Peters. Cam will have to go to his tight end even more. So, and then, you know, John, with no Jeremy Maclin and still with no number two option out wide for Kansas City, Chris Conley, Albert Wilson, these guys have just not seized the opportunity. Yeah, it should be a big day for Travis Kelce. It could be a tough return for Spencer Ware against that resurgent Panthers defense, though.
I'll throw Tyreek Hill in there as another option in the Kansas City wide out. It's a flyer, but
if you're in a 24 team league, I would agree with you. Maybe I saw a stat where both these teams give up among the highest points to tight ends in fantasy. So but you're going to play those guys anyway. So I guess that's not a hot tip, but definitely a good matchup for Kelce and Olsen.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I don't think it's the Los Angeles Rams at the New York Jets. 40 is the over-under. Jets favored by 1.5. Ryan Fitzpatrick is banged up, but it sounds like the Jets are going to try and force him out there because they don't really want to start Bryce Petty. I like the defenses in this matchup, and probably Lance Kendricks, a tight end against the Todd Bowles defense. Kendricks has been getting, I believe, 8, 9, and 9 targets the past 3 games, so that's the only play I'm on in this game. JC or Arthur, anybody you like in this one, or are we moving on?
You guys hear me rail on the Rams all the time, and I try to figure out why I don't like the Rams, and it finally dawns on me. It's that Bride of Frankenstein streak that's going through the defensive coordinator's head there, that you literally must die to get it in there, and for some reason it drives me crazy. So I'm going to have to recuse myself from this discussion. I'm kidding. Yeah, I hate this matchup fantasy-wise. This is just terrible. I think Matt Forte could be okay. The Jets are really tough against the run. Gurley's a little banged up. This really is a stinker fantasy game.
I'm seeing a little bit of Twitter speculation. And Arthur, I want to get your take on this, of comparing Todd Gurley to Trent Richardson. Richardson had that great rookie year and then really fell off the table. I don't know if Gurley's in that camp, but there's starting to be some speculation on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, I suppose, just the way they went from the breakout. I think was Richardson the rookie of the year? I don't recall, but and buried on bad teams, obviously. So I guess I can see some of the parallels, but it's hard for me to, you know, Gurley's not getting any help, not only from the passing game, but from the offensive line. I think I'd probably have to slow down on that a little bit, although I'm obviously someone who is terribly disappointed having drafted Gurley in the first round on one of my leagues and have just, you know, I've been reluctant to even have him in the lineup, but obviously you have no choice. So we'll see. I guess that is an interesting comparison. My only thought on this game is just I'm kind of a sucker for punishment at times. I like occasionally the train wrecks you can't look away from, and these have to be the two most embarrassing quarterback situations in the NFL. So I will be watching for that reason, if nothing else, just to see who can find a way to kind of pee down their leg first in this one.
I think Todd Gurley is a much better athlete than Trent Richardson, and I think he'll bounce back. I agree with Arthur 100%. He actually, I read this on ESPN, at 1.34 yards, Gurley incurs first contact with the defender quicker than any other back in the NFL. So this is on the offensive line, and I don't think it's on Gurley.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Atlanta at Philadelphia. 50 is the over-under. Atlanta favored by 1.5 on the road. Philadelphia is going to be without cornerback Leodis McKelvin, which Julio Jones could end up with a potentially historic fantasy day in this one. JC, who else do you like in the Atlanta-Philly matchup?
You know, Philly's got a really good defense, but it's kind of hot and cold. I agree with you, Julio Jones. You know, start Julio Jones, newsflash, right? I think that this game might be a little higher scoring than the defense would for Philadelphia would dictate. I think you got to look at, is Tevin Coleman going to play? Last I heard, he's iffy. The Eagles have been pretty good at shutting down the run. Sanu might be a good flyer to take if you've got some people on bye. But yeah, I think I would call this kind of a neutral matchup for both teams.
Arthur, how about this one? Where are you looking?
I mean, I think the bloom is off the Eagles' defensive rose a little bit in recent weeks. I think they've allowed 8 passing touchdowns over the past 2 weeks combined. So I would, you know, of course, obviously you're playing Julio Jones, but Mohamed Sanu's probably fine. Taylor Gabriel and Austin Hooper, I think, maybe in streaming leagues or in deeper leagues, you could probably do okay with. And then, you know, for as good as the Falcons are throwing the football, they're almost equally bad defending the pass. So if ever there was a week where that maligned Eagles pass catching core could get going, whether it's Jordan Matthews or Zach Ertz, that might have been the biggest takeaway from that loss versus the Giants, was the finally was the inclusion of Zach Ertz, or really building the offense around him. I think those guys can be fine, maybe even a really sneaky DFS play. This would be very sneaky because he's struggled, but maybe Carson Wentz does a little bit of work against a Falcons defense that really is not very good.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. And we should mention Jacob Tammy is out, so Austin Hooper, as Arthur mentioned, a good streaming option. And Tevin Coleman is questionable. He may be out, so that would, I think, you know, you're firing up Devonta Freeman regardless, but I think you have even more confidence should Coleman not be able to go. Let's move on to the next one. Minnesota, Washington, 42 is the over-under. Washington favored by 2.5. Stephon Diggs is, you know, Minnesota changed offensive coordinators, obviously, with Norv Turner being forced out, retiring, leaving, whatever. Arthur, you're the NFC North guy here. Are the Vikings going to build their offense around Diggs mainly because he's the only guy they have left?
Yeah, I think so, and maybe one of the few encouraging signs for the Vikings during their recent skid that's been just pretty tough to watch has been Stephon Diggs, I believe 2 weeks in a row now, having a pretty productive game. I'll have to go back and double-check on that, but I'm pretty positive. I know he had a late garbage-time touchdown at Soldier Field, and then I believe he was productive again last week. And yeah, like you said, almost by default, they don't have a lot of other choices, and maybe the kind of offense that Pat Shurmur needs to gear things toward, which is the quick release that we saw a little bit last week versus Detroit, that should benefit Diggs well, who's one of those quick twitch guys and can get open pretty quickly off the line. So I'm not quite to the point where I'm trusting him on a weekly basis yet, because he just has been so darn streaky in two seasons or 1.5 seasons, but I don't think they have any choice. And again, it has been at least encouraging to see him get going a little bit over the past couple weeks.
Deshaun Jackson is also out on this game. So, yeah. JC, who do you think that helps? Crowder, perhaps? And Rob Kelly is going to start because Matt Jones is being benched.
Fumbled his, yeah. Yeah. I think Kelly's a good play, definitely. And I think if you're going to play a Washington receiver, which I would not, but Crowder would be the number one guy. Obviously, you're going to play Jordan Reed. The Vikings have looked terrible on offense, so bad that, combined with some injuries, their defense is starting not to be a play. I still see – I subscribe to a lot of the fantasy newsletters, and I still see the Vikings defense rated extremely high. I've seen them as high as 2 this week. I don't know. I've got them in 2 leagues, and I'm a little worried about them because the offense is coming off the field so fast that the opposing team is starting to score some points and really wearing down that Minnesota defense. I think Diggs is an okay play, and you're probably going to play Kyle Rudolph, although he's been fairly non-productive lately. A guy I keep an eye on, and I'm not, you know, this would be if you've got a deep bench and you can stuff him, is Ronnie Hillman. I'm just wondering if at some point he's had a couple decent runs. You got Asiata and you have Jerick McKinnon coming back. But I just wonder, you know, Hillman was the go-to guy for Denver not too long ago. And I'm just wondering if he might wind up being a sneaky play at some point. So just keep an eye on that. I'm not saying going out and trade for him or anything like that, but keep an eye on it.
That's a good stash. All right, let's move on to the next game. Green Bay at Tennessee, 49.5 is the over/under. Green Bay favored by 3 on the road. Guys, I've been away for a couple weeks, so this Green Bay offense has turned into this just incredibly inefficient place to get points. Rodgers is getting there, has been getting there by volume, but James Starks may be back, and I don't know that he's going to play all that much, but that would sort of diminish Ty Montgomery a little bit for me. Ty Montgomery was on a pitch count last week because of a sickle cell trait, and the Packers did not exactly make that well known beforehand. Randall Cobb has been dealing with it with a hamstring. So, JC, when you look at this Green Bay offense, Who do you feel confident about going into this?
Well, I don't feel confident about anybody. I think Mason Crosby's a pretty good play, and Aaron Rodgers is a good play because they're going to get their points. I think they generally do, and that all the points are going to go through Rodgers. Now the real question becomes: I like Ty Montgomery. I some leagues you can play him as a running back or a receiver, which really increases his value as long as he's out there. And from what I hear, he will be out there playing close to 100%. I think he's a good play. And then Jordy Nelson is the favorite target. There's no doubt. Cobb, that hamstring really hinders him. I think he caught two balls last week. One was for a touchdown, but he is definitely hurting. On the other side of the ball, I would not shy away from your Titans this week. Green Bay has a very good run defense, but Tennessee has a very good rushing attack. And I wouldn't, you know, I would not hesitate. Of course, you're going to play DeMarco Murray, but I wouldn't be that nervous about it. I think they're going to give Green Bay a really good game. Another name that's been popping up, who's been playing pretty well, is Rishard Matthews. Opinions vary, as we talked about before the show. I've seen him ranked as high as 16, and I've seen him as low as in the 40s. But he's really starting to emerge as the go-to wide receiver. And I believe Delanie Walker is playing this week.
He is.
I would not shy away from your Titans at home. They've got some confidence. I think they're playing better.
Rishard Matthews, 5 touchdowns in the past 5 weeks. He clearly has become Mariota's top target. Arthur, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this matchup in general.
Yeah, well, let's start with Rishard Matthews, and you're absolutely right about him finding pay dirt quite a bit, and of course that's going to give his value a boost, but it's Marcus Mariota in the red zone who's been terrific. He's been kind of a chameleon act, because in between the 20s is where he's been making mistakes, but he gets super precise when they get close to the goal line, and as you said, he has been looking Matthews' way often. I think, you know, you still can't count on Kendall Wright or Tajay Sharp or whoever else they're trotting out there these days, so yes, Matthews is the go-to guy, and the Packers secondary should be healthier, but I wouldn't shy away from Matthews as a WR3 with some decent upside. Delanie Walker, obviously, you're going to play. DeMarco Murray, obviously, you're going to play, although I do think it's going to be tough sledding for him. I'm not expecting this to be like when Ezekiel Elliott went into Lambeau Field last month and just ran all over the Packers. I think they have too much pride, and I think they do have a bounce-back game coming. And then just circling back to Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers has 10 touchdowns to one interception over the past 3 games. So, you know, fantasy can kind of cover up some real life issues that are going on, and I don't think Rodgers has been all that great, but obviously those are numbers you can live with. He's my QB3 this week, and the one thing I did hear you mention, John, was that James Starks' return would diminish or could potentially diminish Ty Montgomery's value. I don't think so. I think Montgomery is healthier, and I think they have really been praising his adjustment from wide receiver to running back, and I think he actually holds on to that job and relegates Starks to remain a backup. So I think you should stick with Montgomery, especially as he gets healthier. And then, you know, the wide receivers are so frustrating. But as JC said at the top of the show, Jordy Nelson, you have no choice. You know, Davante Adams is getting a lot of looks right now. So if you have him, you're probably playing him. And you just kind of have to swallow hard and hope for the best from these guys.
I'll throw in one more thing that is contradictory, but the numbers sort of back it up. We're all excited about the Tennessee offense from a fantasy perspective. But Marcus Mariota has allowed 4 touchdowns to go back the other way on him. So the Green Bay defense,
I think it's 5, John.
You're right.
They lead
5.
The NFL with yep. 7 return touchdowns. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's a great
so
call by you.
If you're in a bind, or if you're, you know, just looking for a defense, Green Bay is not the worst option, because that potential for a touchdown coming back the other way is there. Let's move on to the next one. Bears at Tampa Bay. 45.5 is the over-under. That's come down from 48. Is where it opened, but the Bears are favored by 2 on the road. JC, it seems like everybody is on Alshon Jeffrey this week, and with good reason.
Yeah, and you know, I thought I was there was a revelation, because I write my column on Tuesday morning, Monday night, and I thought this looks like a good week for the Bears, and I included them as a matchup to exploit. Tampa Bay's letting up basically 30 points a game. It's 29.875 or something like that, and they're letting up a ton of yards. I think the Bears are healthier than they've been all year. Jay Cutler played with a lot of confidence in the last game and a little bit of fire, which I don't think we've ever seen from him before. I do also feel like maybe we're getting out over our skis a little bit on the Bears love. They really haven't done anything to – they beat a team, a Minnesota team that's really kind of in free fall right now. But I do think this is a good matchup. I think Jordan Howard is going to benefit from the fact that Cutler, unlike Hoyer, doesn't dink and dunk. He can throw the ball long. Jeffrey's a great matchup. You know he's going to get a couple jump balls. So – Jordan Howard, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Miller, and even Jay Cutler. If your quarterback is on bye this week, and there's I believe three pretty good ones that are on bye this week, Jay Cutler's not a bad option. On the other side of the ball, it looks like Doug Martin is going to be coming back. You just don't know how much of a burst he's going to have. The Bears defense has been, you know, pretty good. So you're going to play Mike Evans, obviously, and he's got to be a top five receiver this week. Other than that, maybe Cameron Brate, Jameis Winston. I'd have him about 13 or 14 among quarterbacks. So I believe it's a better matchup than the Bears, and I have a funny feeling they're going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears are implied to score only about 24 points by their Vegas odds, which is not a team you typically get excited about. But Arthur, I think we're all in agreement here that you can fire up your Bears, you know, almost all the way down.
Yeah, you know, as much as anything, it's just that Tampa defense has been so bad and is not taking the football away, which is the way to capitalize, obviously, against Jay Cutler. So, yeah, I've got Jordan Howard as an RB5 this week. And I'll tell you what, guys, I think Jordan Howard's going to remain likely in the top five rankings the rest of the way. It's pretty amazing. If the Bears had been feeding him like the Cowboys had been giving Ezekiel Elliott the ball, I think Jordan Howard would be getting a lot more national attention. He's averaging 5.1 yards per carry. He's doing it without the type of offensive line that Ezekiel Elliott has. He's been more productive as a receiver. So I can't say enough good things about Jordan Howard. Alshon Jeffrey, I think, has a big day against the combination of Brent Grimes and the rookie, of course, Vernon Hargraves. And I think Zach Miller is the guy to look out for in this one, too. I like both of the tight ends, but Zach Miller, just the way that Tampa Bay plays defense, it's going to be a lot of zone. They're going to ask Cutler to be patient and use the middle of the field, and I think he goes off big with Miller this week. On the other side for Tampa, I think we already mentioned him, but I would hold off on Doug Martin. I wouldn't feel comfortable playing him at all. Maybe it's because we've been burned too many times this season by guys returning from injury, whether it's Gronk or Tyler Eifert or the list goes on. Martin's been away too long, and that Bears run defense is very sneakily stout this season.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Miami at San Diego, 48.5 is the over-under. San Diego favored by 4 at home. Looks like Travis Benjamin is going to be out. But, man, guys, I go away for 2 weeks, and Jay Ajayi and Melvin Gordon become two of the top running backs in fantasy.
Yeah.
What's going on here, JC?
Well, Melvin Gordon is pretty good, and they really are relying on him. And Danny Woodhead going out, really, Melvin Gordon's kind of become – Melvin Gordon and Danny Woodhead. They're using him in the passing game. They're using the running game. Unlike Arthur made a great point about how the Bears went away from Jordan Howard, the Chargers just keep going back to Melvin Gordon. He gets stuffed at the line a few times. They don't panic. I like this Charger team. They spread the ball around a lot. Rivers is a great play. Gordon is a great play. He's got to be a probably RB2 right behind David Johnson this week.
Yep.
On the wide receiver end of it, Tyrell Williams, I guess, kind of pops out at you. You got two really productive tight ends in Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates, and it looks like they're both going to play. And I apologize for saying Antonio Gates was running on fumes because apparently he's still pretty good. Arthur, I'm going to have to give you points on that. You were correct. And then on the other side of the
first
ball.
First time this season.
Right. So Miami, Ajayi is – he's the real deal, I guess. I mean, 200 yards, 2 weeks in a row. Then he goes for more than 100 against the Jets. And the Chargers are defensively challenged. They're playing a lot better, though. So I would say Miami looks pretty good. I believe Jarvis Landry, is he going to play? Do you guys know?
He is going to play, I believe. But, man, he got like three targets last week.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of hesitant on playing him, especially if he's a little banged up.
Yeah, I think Miami's going to want to slow the game down. And Jai's a great play this week. But the rest of Miami, I would agree, I would downgrade him. But this should be a pretty fun game.
Arthur, anything you want to add on this one?
I think JC covered it pretty well. I guess I would just add that, you know, part of the reason for these guys, these second year backs exploding, is just based off opportunity. They've each received 77 carries in their past three games. So you see staffs that are committed to them, both Adam Gase and Mike McCoy, although McCoy certainly wasn't committed enough to Gordon and down by the goal line on four opportunities versus Denver to pull an upset a couple weeks ago. But last thing I'd add on this is the real test for me with Jay Ajayi, because we mentioned the injury to Jarvis Landry. You can throw Kenny Stills in there as well. They're both questionable. Devontae Parker has just been he's been terrible. So can Ajayi do it when there's really no threat at all of a passing game against a really good Chargers defense? And I know they allowed 40-something points last week, and that certainly is, that's kind of hypocritical to say that, but the Chargers have been playing a lot better than I think people realize.
I'll throw in one more if you're playing DFS. He's really cheap. Or if you're in your PPR league, Dontrell Inman is getting a bunch of targets lately from Rivers. Yep. And with Benjamin out, he should get 6 to 8 targets this week. So I'd be fine with him. Let's move on to the next one, San Francisco at Arizona. 48 is the over-under. Arizona's favored by 14 at home. Let's just start with this. Play David Johnson.
If you're in a pinch, I guess.
Yeah. but let's look at the Cardinals' passing game. J.J. Nelson has really stepped up and sort of been the guy next to Larry Fitzgerald. And Bruce Arians not afraid to run up the score. So I like Palmer. I like Johnson. I like J.J. Nelson and Larry Fitzgerald. I think they're all great plays in this game, and I hate everybody on the San Francisco side.
Well, I can't argue with you. This game, nothing ever goes like it's supposed to in the NFL, but I don't know how in your right mind you could predict anything other than a drubbing from Arizona. And Catanzaro is a great pick. Arizona is my number one defense. Catanzaro is my number one kicker. And David Johnson's my number one running back. Other than that, I love San Francisco in this game. I don't know who you would play on. The Harris is subbed in pretty well last week for Hyde. I don't know if Hyde's playing this week or not. I think you stay away from the 49ers unless for some reason you can't, and you play any healthy Cardinal you have. And I agree, and we've seen Bruce Arians will run up the score.
Arthur, anything you want to add, or are we moving on to the next one?
The only guy we didn't mention, I think you could probably throw John Brown into the mix just because it should be high scoring for the Cardinals. And if Carson Palmer doesn't break out this week and really deliver a confident, inspiring performance, I think you write off the Cardinals. I think they have such a tall mountain to climb, and they need Palmer to start being Palmer again. We'll see if it happens.
All right, a couple games left. Dallas-Pittsburgh, this is a really interesting matchup. 50 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 2.5 at home. JC, there's some interesting stuff going on in this game. Who do you like?
Yeah, it's a great game. I'm very much looking forward to it. And I think the NFL could use a few good games like this. I think you got to look at this going into it. Look, nobody has a crystal ball, but I think common sense would tell you it's going to be a close game and there's going to be points on both sides. I think the Cowboys are not going to be able to come in and just dominate. They're going to have to throw the ball. I think Dez Bryant is a better play than he has been recently. Maybe Jason Witten isn't the number one target like he's been in the last couple weeks, and Dez Bryant starts to get some. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott, that's what they're going to try to do. Go with him. He's great. I mean, I don't know how you could stay away from him. But the Steelers know that too, and that's what they're going to be focused on. And this would be a great game to see if Dak Prescott is for real. And I think he is, and I think they'll do very well. On the other side of the ball, Pittsburgh, they've got to win this game, right? They're in a bit of a free fall. I think that it's a great matchup for the Steelers. Obviously, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger. Now you look a little deeper. Jesse James, I think, would be a good play if he's as long as Ladarius Green isn't coming back. And then you look at who's the number two. Is it Eli Rogers? Is it Sammy Coates? I believe Coates is a little banged up. But I think there's a good, tricky play if you can figure out who the second receiver is on the Steelers.
Arthur, you want to take a stab at who the second receiver is on the Steelers this week?
If you're just talking about upside, it has to be Sammy Coates. But then you look at him, you know, dropping easy touchdowns last week that could have gotten Pittsburgh closer against Baltimore. And you just wonder if he's ever going to earn the trust he needs from Roethlisberger. And then there's Eli Rogers, who, you know, you thought was ready to break out much like Sammy Coates. And then he finds himself in the coach's doghouse after getting injured. So I agree with JC that, you know, I think that shrewd fantasy owners should really pay close attention to this game because, you know, maybe it'll be too late, but someone is going to break out opposite Antonio Brown. I still, and I'm probably a fool to think so, I think Ladarius Green, with everything they invested in him, as long as they've waited, with the skill set he provides to stretch the field in the middle, he's the guy that I'm most interested in, but Sammy Coates isn't far behind. And then just circling back to the Cowboys quickly, John, and then I'll throw it back to you. It's just going to be fun to watch how Dak Prescott performs with Tony Romo potentially active for the first time and holding the clipboard. What a visual that will be. And I just, you know, composure has been the story for Dak Prescott. So I'm really, really curious to see if that, you know, if that continues with Romo now officially breathing down his back, if it looks like as he's expected to. What do you think, John? I'm curious to get your thoughts on that.
You know, my concern here is not actually on the Dallas side. It's on the Pittsburgh side, and it's because Dallas loves time of possession. And so when you limit the number of possessions that an offense can have, you limit the number of plays, that puts a ceiling potentially on what an offense can do in fantasy. Now, it is Ben Roethlisberger. He's at home. Roethlisberger at home, much better than on the road. Antonio Brown is still Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell hasn't scored a touchdown yet this year. Eventually, there's going to be regression. I'm, you know, keep riding that train until he gets into the paint. But I am a little bit concerned off of Dallas if Dallas is able to impose their will a little bit with time of possession.
It's a great point, and we'll see if Pittsburgh's run defense, which really improved once it got Cameron Hayward back last week, if they can actually, you know, hold up against that Dallas offensive line and again force the football into Prescott's hands again with all the other things we saw going on around that team. It should really be a fascinating matchup.
All right, let's move on to the Sunday night game. And Arthur, I want to start with you because you broke this game down for us in our national PFW insert. Seattle, New England, 49 is the over-under. New England favored by 7.5. I can't remember the last time I saw Seattle as a 7-point underdog. From a fantasy perspective, though, where are you looking in this Seattle-New England matchup? Obviously, Brady is going to be great, but which one of his weapons goes off this week?
Well, I mean, Gronkowski obviously has to. What he's done since Brady returned has been truly special, and obviously he's a special player, so we shouldn't be surprised. But Gronkowski, even against Earl Thomas and those speedy linebackers and Wright and Wagner, clearly big advantage for Gronk. You know, the Seahawks' run defense is not what it used to be, and LeGarrette Blount is very quietly having a sensational season for New England. So, you know, maybe people will get a little bit scared off of Blount with Deion Lewis likely to return this week, but I think Belichick said today that Lewis is still way behind James White, and I just think it's still LeGarrette Blount's backfield. He's going to have a nice day, and then we'll see. I don't know if Chris Hogan can keep getting on top of a defense as good as Seattle's, but Seattle has allowed more big plays than we're accustomed to seeing, and you know, Richard Sherman won't travel into the slot, so I think you're playing Julian Edelman if you have him. Kind of all the usual suspects for the Patriots, as good as that Seattle defense is. But what I found to be so intriguing about this matchup was that Seattle has spent that defense has spent so much time on the field over the past couple weeks. We haven't seen a team take it to Seattle like Buffalo did last week. And of course, that came right after that overtime tie where they were on the field for like 46 minutes. So on a short week, going to face the mightiest offense in football, it seems like it's going to take a minor miracle for Seattle to pull off an upset in this one. But they do have Jimmy Graham and Russell Wilson going. That was certainly something to see against Buffalo, watching Jimmy Graham with one hand be better than the entire Buffalo defense and watching Russell Wilson make a few of the best throws I think we've seen in the NFL this entire season.
So I'm going to save my bullet call because it's for this game. But JC, Seattle and New England, where are you on this one?
Well, I would not shy away from either team. I think what's probably going to happen, I could see New England getting up on a lead and Seattle having to come back, and I think they're talented enough that they can. So the guy I'd probably be low on is Christine Michael. I think Seattle's going to have to throw the ball. They came out of their shell a little bit. New England, this is a good matchup for them. If Buffalo can almost score 30 points against Seattle in Seattle, New England's not quaking in their boots for Seattle to come out there. So you know, the guy I would say that's a good play, Arthur mentioned him, James White. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him get a lot of touches, receptions out of the backfield, and LeGarrette Blount, of course. And then the New England's a little bit like New Orleans and Green Bay, and they spread the targets out, Hogan and Edelman. But Gronkowski, how can you go wrong? But what I do really like, and I hate to just go back to last week, but if you're going to score on New England, it's going to be the middle of the field. And I like whoever's lined up in the slot. A lot of times it's Doug Baldwin. And then I also like Jimmy Graham for Seattle. Play neither defense, though.
All right, guys, let's close it out for the game-by-game breakdown for Cincinnati and the New York Giants on Monday night. 47 is the over-under. Cincinnati favored by one on the road. JC, obviously you're playing Beckham and A.J. Green. Anybody else you like in this one?
You know, I really don't. Cincinnati has been awful on the road. They've been two completely different teams. And then from a fantasy perspective, is it Bernard? Is it Hill? You have no idea. I probably this week lean a little bit more toward Bernard. Green I like a lot. I think you could play Andy Dalton in a pinch. On the Giants side, the Giants are actually a pretty competitive team for not having a running game at all. Rashard Jennings has had a chance now. I think it's 17 different NFL franchises to be the feature back, and he has bombed in every single instance. I would dump him. Perkins has probably got more upside. But I think, obviously, Beckham and Shepard and Eli Manning are decent plays at home on Monday.
Arthur, where are you at on this one?
Yeah, just a couple more names. Those are all great plays, obviously. And the two that we didn't talk about yet, and it depends on how big your stones are, frankly, if you're willing to go this far out on the ledge. But what about Roger Lewis? You guys know that name, the Giants rookie out of Bowling Green who has explosive touchdowns in two of the past 3 weeks. He was the guy who got the extra opportunities once Victor Cruz went down last week. And I just this Cincinnati defense, to me, has been one of the not told enough stories that's been such a huge disappointment just over the halfway point of the season. So maybe Roger Lewis is a sneaky DFS play. I'm sure he's a minimum value. And then we didn't mention Tyler Eifert. Right. So I think looking for him to build on what he did in London. Now he's had the bye week to continue to get healthy with the back and the ankle. And the Giants are never particularly great covering tight ends. So I'd throw Eifert in there as well. And I think JC is right. It does look like, although it's impossible to ever figure out, the Cincinnati backfield does seem to be trending a bit toward Gio Bernard, and I think he's the guy who might be able to kind of isolate those Giants linebackers and do some work out in space. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think you're right on it trending Bernard, but I mean, the way I've approached the Cincinnati backfield over the years is as soon as I think it's one guy, the other guy goes off, so I'm staying away from both of them, I think. All right, guys, we will close out the show as we do every week with our bold calls. I'm going to go first. It's sort of, I didn't spoil it, but I let you know where I was going. Seattle, New England. I think New England absolutely smashes Seattle, and so my take is going to start off pretty cold and end pretty hot. I think Tom Brady is QB1 for the week. I think Rob Gronkowski is tight end one for the week. I think James White and LeGarrette Blount both are top 10 running back plays this week. I think they both finish in the top 10. I think White, in a PPR league, I think White just smashes with all of the catches he's going to have, and then it's going to be LeGarrette Blount running it into the end zone against the Seattle defense that has been quite suspect for the past couple of weeks. So that's my bold call. JC, do you have a bold call this week?
I do. Jay Cutler, top 5 QB.
Ooh, that is fire. I like it. Yeah, I mean, Cutler's in a great matchup, so why not? All right, guys. Well, that will do it for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For Arthur Arkish and JC Talon, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.